Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will have class number 6 in the classes related to oppression. And the class of today, the title is Rights of Children in Islam, and how some parents actually are oppressing their kids, their rights, while they are not aware of it. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about oppression. Today, inshallah, we will learn about our duties towards our children, and we will learn that when we don't fulfill these duties, we will be considered oppressors of our kids. Actually, this deserves the punishment of Allah on the Day of Judgment, when our kids will complain to Allah from us. Today, inshallah, we will start by learning the importance of family in Islam. Islam is a faith that takes care of the family. Therefore, it sets certain duties as responsibilities for the believer, who must fulfill them with regard to his home and family. The home in Islam actually is the nucleus of the Muslim community. Muslim families are the cells that make up the Muslim society. Every single home is a fortress of faith that must have no damage in its internal structure. Everyone inside must guard his position. If that fortress is damaged, the whole society will fall apart. So again, sisters, you know, as Muslims, we must always appreciate the importance of the family in Islam. Allah the Almighty has entrusted parents with their children. Parents bear the responsibility to raise up their children if they don't, in an Islamic way. If they don't do that, they will be questioned on the Day of Judgment by Allah the Almighty. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "All of you are guardians, and all of you are responsible for things under their guardianship. A man is a guardian over his family and responsible for them. The woman is a guardian of her husband's house, and she is responsible for it. All of you are guardians for things under their control." So again, sisters, you know, this is Islam, and this is the responsibility in Islam. In this worldly life, we are in a test. This means that we are living the life, having some responsibilities which we don't have any excuse regarding these responsibilities. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't excuse anyone from his responsibilities that Allah has put on every individual to build the Islamic society, all within their capacities. In reality, our situation as Ummah nowadays is nothing actually because of the neglect of our responsibility. We are in a very bad shape because everyone actually... Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That nowadays most of the parents maybe are not aware of the rights of their children. Accordingly, they are not fulfilling their rights. Accordingly, the family is not in a good shape in the Muslim community nowadays, and this will lead to the fact that the Muslim community will not be in a good shape. Men and women, fathers and mothers, share the responsibility to raise up, educate, and build the new generation in the correct method and in the right way. Let us read this message from a father to his son. The father is saying to his son, I found you a part of myself, rather than I found you my whole, so much that if anything befall you, it was as though it befall me. And if this comes to you, it was as though it came to me. Consequently, your affairs mean to me as my own affairs would mean to me. So I have written this piece of advice as an instrument of help. Certainly, the heart of young man is like uncultivated land. It accepts whatever is thrown on it. So I hastened to mold you probably before your heart hardens up and your mind got occupied, so that you may be really ready to accept through my guidance, and you can actually get the benefit of my experiences that will save you from going through these experiences yourself. The guidance and training that a parent gives his or her child is vital for the progress of the child. Although the child may not appreciate it at that time, a loving parent knows that his or her child is a trust, responsibility, which Allah is the one to reward for it. So today, inshallah, we will learn about the rights of children in Islam. Before learning about the rights of children in Islam, sisters, we will learn about the reward of fulfilling the trust of our kids. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, sisters, is that in our worldly life, everything Allah is giving us is a trust. What is the meaning of a trust? A trust means a responsibility which we have to fulfill our duties towards that responsibility, and the reward is from Allah, not from the trust. Your parents are a trust, your husband is a trust, your kids trust, the family members are a trust, Muslim sisters a trust, humanity is a trust, your spirit is a trust. Why? All are trust, because all will return to Allah, and Allah will question us regarding the rights of all what I mentioned. Accordingly, we must realize that you will be rewarded for fulfilling these trusts, but the reward is from Allah, not from those people. Okay, because actually this is how the believer is supposed to live his life. And let me start with this fact so that inshallah it will be clear for all of us why I am supposed to take care of everyone, to help everyone, to support everyone, and never waiting for any reward from anyone. Why? Because I already receive my reward from Allah the minute I have the intention to fulfill my duties. When I have the intention, every day in the morning, today inshallah, O Allah, I promise you that I will fulfill all my duties towards you. And this is the most important, the right of Allah on his slaves, as we clarified in the first class of oppression. Not to oppress your relation with Allah. Okay? And then my duty towards myself, then my duty towards everyone, I will try to fulfill all these duties for your own sake, Allah. And I am looking for the reward only from Allah. The minute you send this promise to Allah with sincerity, be sure, sister, that inshallah you receive the reward. Accordingly, you will be satisfied. Accordingly, you will not be in need of any reward from anyone, whether my husband, whether my kids, whether my parents, whether Muslim sisters, anyone in my life. I am not looking for the reward, because all praise to Allah. Allah the Almighty sent for me the message that your reward, inshallah, will be with Allah the Almighty. Accordingly, When you will fulfill your duties towards everyone, you will be sure that you will be rewarded. Okay, and this what will encourage you to keep on fulfilling your duties in the best shape, in spite of the fact that most of the people are never appreciating anything. Okay, and this is one of, yes, this is one of the problems of our life nowadays. If you want to follow the right path, you will be in great trouble. Most of the people, they don't want. Most of the people never appreciate. Most of the people, they don't appreciate, but they don't fulfill their duties towards you. Okay, so you will be the only one giving to everyone, and no one is trying to compensate for you anything. No problem. You know, sister, all praise to Allah, all of you are revered sisters. No problem, sisters. When you believe that the only one who can give is Allah, and the only one who will reward you is the only one who has the power and the will, this is more than enough for me. I am not looking for any reward from those whom they don't have any power or will. And this is the mercy of the religion of Islam. The mercy of the religion of Islam is that it will all the time support your spirit. Don't look for reward from anyone. Don't look for help from anyone. Don't look for appreciation from anyone, compensation from anyone. Only Allah is the one who will compensate, who will support, who will help, who will give, who will reward you in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And this is the mercy, sisters, for the spirit, because every one of us is in need of the reward. Everyone is in need of support. Everyone is in need of the feeling that I will be compensated. This is the human spirit. So if the human beings are not willing to compensate, are not willing to support, are not willing, you know, to reward, what will be, you know, the end of most of the human beings? They will stop giving. I will not give anyone so long as they are not supposed to give me. And this is the reason behind the damage of most of the families. Because one of the partners, okay, will decide to stop giving. So what the other one will do? If he will stop, I will also stop. I am a human being. What can I do? I cannot keep on giving. Okay, and I am not receiving any love, any care, any attention, any compassion. I am not receiving anything. I am a human being. I cannot continue. Let us stop that relation. Okay. Again, sisters, because today we are discussing about the children, this can happen between a husband and the wife so long they don't have kids. Both of them can be selfish. One will start the attitude of selfishness, and the other one will follow. Okay, no problem, so long there are no kids. But if there are kids, okay, we will be questioned about them on the Day of Judgment. If one of the partners decide to become selfish and not to fulfill his duties, okay, he will be questioned by Allah about his kids, but also the other partner. If she, for example, if she is the mother and she decides also to forget about her responsibility towards her kids because of the father, she will have the excuse to Allah, their father is the one, so what can I do? I am a human being, I will also cancel this marriage. What about the kids? Who will pay the price for these kids? These kids will come on the Day of Judgment and will stand in front of the parents. And Allah is the judge. Why you bring me to this life if you are not sure that you can live with that person? Number one, suppose my husband was good and he changed by time. The mother will answer, actually, you know, sisters, I want to discuss the oppression of the kids, not according to most of, you know, the Muslim scholars discuss the right to eat, the right to drink, the right, no, this is not the most important rights. I will discuss all of these rights, inshallah, because this is a must for learning in Islam. But I am discussing the reality. I am discussing the real oppression for the kids. Okay, the real oppression is that both the parents will decide to forget about them. None of my business. He is very selfish husband, and I have the right to live, and I cannot live with him. Let us cancel it. Very simple. Okay, this is very simple for you and for him, because both of you can start a new life if you have 2 years old, 3 years old child. Why? He is supposed to pay the price while he is still 2 years old or 3 years old. He doesn't have a mind, he doesn't have a power, he doesn't have anything, and he will be lost without the love of the mother and the support of the father. You are actually making this child to lose everything in this life. And then we will forget about the child. He will be with his father for some time, and he will spend 1 week with me another time. We will divide the time between each of us, and this is the best for him. No, this is not never the best for him. And actually, I revised, because I always discuss about the family problems, I revised, you know, a lot of reports, and I was a pediatrician, you know, and I met hundreds and hundreds of kids whom they are living this issue. Divorce is not the solution, ever, never for the kids. And there are many kids whom they lived through the divorce, and they always blame their parents. The problem, sisters, is on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, the child will complain to Allah about all his life. He will tell to Allah, from the age of 2, I was left alone. None of them care for me. None of them love me. None of them teach me. None of them live with me. None of them fulfill my rights. I want my compensation now. You can't imagine, sisters, that that child will take all the good deeds of both the parents, and he may lead them to the hellfire, because he will take all the good deeds. Then he, if he grow up and he became a criminal or a gay or any not normal, good, healthy human being, he will say to Allah, this is because of my parents. I am not the one. There was no family. So all my mistakes, they are supposed to be the one to pay for all my mistakes. They will not be able to pay for mistakes for, you know, someone who is not a good person in any form. So all his bad deeds will be thrown on his both parents, and they will be on their way to the hellfire. You know, sister, this is the reality of the worldly life, and this is how we have to understand that regarding Allah, everything must be fair and must be, you know, evaluated very sincerely regarding the rights of the human beings. Most of the people, when they learn Islam, and I am teaching you this because you are reversed, sister, they, focus on acts of worship. Okay, the outside. Okay, I must pray 5 times, and I must pray more, and I must fast Ramadan, and I must fast more, and I must come to the masjid. All of these are a must in Islam, but this is 1/62 parts of Islam. Okay, this is not the problem in Islam. The most easy in Islam is the acts of worship. But the most difficult in Islam is related to the rights and the trust in the worldly life. And this is actually is the reason behind actually having the fire as the final destination, not the acts of worship only. Because regarding the acts of worship, Allah will forgive. Maybe Allah will forgive you if you don't pray with the good intention. You were tired, so you forget once. I thought that Allah has the mercy to forgive us regarding the acts of worship. But the rights of the human being, Allah will never interfere in these rights. So suppose I oppress my daughter, and I am the one giving the classes for more than 10 years. Alhamdulillah, memorizing the whole Quran. Alhamdulillah, trying to do my acts in the best shape. Allah will never forgive me. If my daughter will say, my mother oppressed me from the age of 2 to the age of 27, and because of my mother, I was not happy in my marriage and I was divorced. Still, this is her own problem, but she is complaining to Allah from me. She never taught me anything. She never lived with me. For example, she was a pediatrician. She was all the time focusing on her job, on her career, and she neglected me. Oh Allah, all my failure is because of my mother and maybe my father. Okay? Then I will tell to Allah, oh Allah, but I was calling to you. But I was doing a lot of good deeds. Allah will tell me, Allah will never interfere between the rights of two human beings. Give her your good deeds. So my daughter will take all my good deeds. But my daughter has still bad deeds. She will throw her bad deeds on me, and she may be my way to the hellfire. In spite of the fact that I am living all my life for the last 20 years, for the sake of the Quran. This is not the problem in Islam. The rights is very important in Islam because Islam is the religion of the family. It's the Muslim community. We cannot have people whom they are just worshipping Allah and there is no family. And there is no community. And there is no unity. And there is no power. And this is the problem of the Muslim community. Why it is not united? Why it doesn't have a power? Because there is a problem regarding the family. Because they focus all their relation to Allah to the acts of worship. They don't give the attention to the rights. If we give the attention to the rights, we will have a husband-wife, healthy, right relationship. Then we will have kids whom they are living in a healthy environment. So we will have a unity, united, healthy family. Then this unit, okay, will be repeated. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. This is the real success, sisters. So again and again, I need to clarify to you the importance of the rights of the kids so that inshallah we will be aware. This is actually a form of knowledge which most of the Muslims must learn and the revered sisters must learn. The rights, the trust in Islam is very important. If before my death I discussed with my daughter all her problems and I clarified to her that I focused on my career because of 1, 2, 3 reasons and she forgives me while I am alive, this means that on the day of judgment she will not take any of my good deeds. This is the important, sisters, of asking others to forgive you while we are still alive. For example, we have this class, inshallah, and all of you attended the class with me for years. Then I become sick, and the doctor told me that I will die soon. I am supposed to call you and tell you, please, sisters, forgive me. If I did any mistake, if I was upset, if I was not in a good mood, forgive me. Sisters, now, before it will be too late, this is the reality of, you know, the trust. Try to ask people to forgive you. Because, suppose, we attended the class for years, then Celia left to another state. And, you know, maybe I was tough once with Celia or whatever. Okay? I will try to get Celia, I will never find her. You know, I will call her phone number, she's not answering. You know, I'm sick now and I am, you know, actually asking my daughters, please try to remind me who are the sisters whom they were attending with me. I want to ask them forgiveness. This is very serious, sisters, very serious issues. Otherwise, on the day of judgment, when everyone is looking for one good deed, I will find one sister coming from far away telling me, Sister Mona, I have a lot of good deeds, I will take it from you. Then I tell her why. She will tell me, I was your neighbor in Egypt before coming to America. You remember? We always fight together. I told her, I will tell her, I can't remember you. This is exactly what will happen on the day of judgment. She will tell me, no, Sister Mona, when you were going out of the house, you never tell me, Assalamu alaikum. You know, at that time, I don't know that Assalamu alaikum, for example, is a must because of the lack of the knowledge. You see, sisters, she will tell me, no, but this is my right now. Because on the day of judgment, sister, every one of us will be looking to get any one good deed from your kids, from your husband, from your parents. Every one of us will think to the other one, please give me only one good deed. Forgive me. Compensate for me. One good deed. Allah is mentioning, and this what we will learn inshallah in details when we will learn about the Day of Judgment. Allah is saying in the Quran, everyone is running from the other one. I will try to catch my daughter. My daughter, remember, my day is with you. Give me one good deed. She will run. She will tell me, no, please, I need it. So sisters, while we are still in the worldly life, we must have the knowledge to save our worldly life. Why to live together, not in a good shape? If we realize that, you know, we are trust regarding each other, and if we don't fulfill the trust, Allah the Almighty on the Day of Judgment will punish us, okay? Every one of us will think it over. Suppose I am coming to the class, and I have some problems at home, for example. This is not your problem. As sisters coming to attend the class, I will come with a big face, you know, and everyone is coming smiling. Sister Mona, I am good. Why you are late? Why you are late for 5 minutes? Sister Mona, what is the problem? You see, this is wrong, sisters. If I realize that you are a trust, coming out from my house means that I close that chapter of the trust of my home, whom they are living with me at home. I am opening the other chapter of the trust of the sister. So I must come smiling, not putting a smile, sister, because in Islam, sincerity is the most important. I must come with, you know, a smile from the depths of my heart, because this is your right. You are coming to learn Islam. Your right is to have the best knowledge from someone who is in a good mood and in a good shape. You know, sisters, if we become busy with the rights of other people, we will never backbite anyone. We will never make problems with anyone. You will be all the time on the side of forgiveness. You don't want problems. Because the minute you start problems with someone, this means that you may oppress that person. If now I say to Sister Shukriya, why are you late today? She will tell me, Sister Mona, I don't want to come again. I don't care. You see? you see, then it will be a fight for life. You see, this is Sister Shukriya, whom I meet her once per week. What about my husband? What about my kids? One word, you know, can lead to a very big fight. Then he may be the one oppressed on the Day of Judgment. Then he will come in front of Allah and say, Mona oppressed me. I will tell him, no, never. He will tell me, no, remember, when you came back from the masjid that Monday, you were very exhausted and you didn't cook. So I was telling you, Mona, why you didn't cook in a nice way, but because you were exhausted. You see, sister, this is how, you know, it will be very critical on the Day of Judgment. I was not aware that I am exhausted. You see, he will tell me that when I tell you, Assalamu alaikum, when I wear the, what is the problem today? I have been in my knee joints. You are oppressing me. And I will be all the time under the impression that I am the oppressed person. You were not the oppressed person. You are the oppressor.
It's easier to put a good face for people you don't know.
Yes, I agree with you. But you know, sisters, I am trying to clarify to you more and more before starting about kids, you know, because this is the reality of oppression, okay, which every one of us must be aware of. And actually, the mercy of learning about that oppression is that you will be all the time trying to be in the lower side, not in the upper side. If I talk to Sister Shukriya not in a nice way, immediately I will tell her, forgive me. Asking forgiveness will be very easy for your spirit. Why? Because you are afraid and you fear, you know, the title of an oppressor. I don't want to be an oppressor. Asking forgiveness will be more easy for me than, you know, long discussions. You told me, I told you. You start, me start. You are the one, I am the one. No. I am very sorry. Forgive me. It is my mistake. Then when someone will ask you, why forgiveness is very easy for you now? You answer, because I don't want to be an oppressor. I am not sure. Maybe I was upset. Maybe my voice was a little bit high. Maybe I was a little bit exhausted. Maybe I am not aware of my situation. And this is how we are living our life and how we are oppressing each other. We are over-exhausted in this worldly life. Everyone is running. Okay? Yes. And then when we come in contact with each other, everyone is under the impression that he will oppress me. I'm sure. Yes. He will oppress me, so I will attack him. What is this, sisters? What is this? You know, this can happen if there is no day of judgment. The belief in the day of judgment, and actually I am clarifying to you and to the Muslim-born sisters whom I am teaching in Madrid Hamza, this is a big problem for the Muslims, the belief in the day of judgment. When you believe that there is a day of judgment, and whatever good deed you do in this life for the sake of Allah, and you were never rewarded for, Allah will compensate you for every good deed, you will be the one to do the good deeds day and night. And your spirit will be all the time in the best shape. Why? Because I am sure Allah will reward me. All praise to Allah. He wants me to forgive. My forgiveness. Sisters are not my forgiveness. My kids are not good. I will calm down. I don't want to oppress any human being. I want you, sister, to learn this attitude in life. Be away from oppression. And don't evaluate oppression according to your criteria. Because maybe your criteria are not fair. You know, this is the problem, sisters, in this worldly life. This is what you learn, you know, by time, you know, and with the old age, you know, you realize these facts. And then when you look back, you will realize that there were many people whom we were supposed to treat them in a better way for my sake. Not even for their sake. For my sake. They will take all my good deeds. So again and again, sisters, you know, this is my personal advice for all of you. Before learning about the kids, try all the time to fulfill the rights to everyone in the best shape. And get the habit and live the experience. I am not looking for any reward from anyone. Enough for me not to be harmed by anyone. If other people will not harm me, all praise to Allah. But to reward me, I am not looking for the reward from anyone. Try to have this belief as a habit, gradually. It is not easy. Because other people will tell you, as you give them, you have rights on them. You clean, you cook, you adjust. He must tell you thank you. He must give you a gift. He must say a nice word. This is your right. Yes, this is the right, actually. Suppose he is a human being, but in reality, this is the right. You know, in Islam, when you do good deed, other people must appreciate it. Okay, and the reward for good must be good. You know, this is the rule. But suppose most of the people decide not to follow the rule. What you will do? You will not follow the other people? You will become an oppressor? You will live fighting all the life? You will not be in a good mood with Allah? And I want to teach you something, sisters. When you are fighting with the people or having problem, especially, for example, with your husband or with your kids or parents, you will be never in a psychological mood to have a good relation with Allah. You must have peace in your spirit so that you can communicate with Allah in the best shape. And try to remember, when you are fighting with your kids or with your husband and the prayer time comes, can you concentrate or focus in your prayer? 100% never. You will try to focus, but you will have anger in your spirit. And this anger will stop between you and the connection with Allah. There is something still, you know, fire in your spirit. Why? Then, oh, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. No, you are not with Allah. You are with the problem. So, if you want to have the peace, spiritual peace in this life, try to avoid the oppression. Give to everyone his rights in the best shape. Don't look for the reward from everyone. Don't ask for your rights from anyone. If someone doesn't have the intention to give you your rights, he will never give it to you. Even if you ask for the rights, even if you blame him not to giving you your rights, if he has the intention, that's it. So don't be in need for the human being. Allah is the one, Allah is more than enough for you, sisters. And I want you to learn, you know, a belief in Islam. In Islam, so long the only power and only will and the decree and the mercy and the hearts are only up to Allah, so I only need Allah. Alhamdulillah. And when you send to Allah that message, oh Allah, I need you only, and I only need you, and I need to be in the best shape only with you. I will obey you. I will follow your rules. And oh Allah, I am looking for you to take care of me. When you send this message to Allah from the depths of your heart, Allah will shower you with all the peace which you are in need of. And you will feel always that you are in a high mood. And you will feel that you are giving and giving in spite of the fact you are not taking anything. And believe me, sisters, I am living with this. All praise to Allah. After I learned the reality of the belief in the oneness of Allah. Most of the Muslims, they don't learn this. Most of the Muslims, we grow up that we must pray, we must fast, let us recite the Quran, read it with tajweed. Okay? This is what most of the Muslims learn about Islam. They don't learn the belief in the oneness of Allah, because when you tell them, let us learn the belief in the oneness of Allah, they always answer me, Sister Mona, we are born Muslims. This is part of our nature. So I told them, no, never. You must learn the knowledge related to the oneness of Allah. When you learn the knowledge related to the oneness of Allah, you will feel that you become to change as a human being. There are no external factors for the change. The change is internal, because it is the connection between you and Allah. Allah, out of His mercy, will make you to be more forgiving, more accepting, more relaxed. Trying to give than to take. Gradually, you are the winner. You are the winner in all the aspects. Why? Because you win your health. You win your time. You win your effort. You win your relation with Allah. And you win the most important. You fulfill the duties number one to Allah, because you send him the message of the belief in his oneness, and you fulfill the message towards yourself, your spirit. Now you are the one always accepting, always forgiving, always treating the people in the best way, or you have the best manners. The one closest to Prophet Muhammad on the Day of Judgment is the one who has the best manners. Okay, this is the only way to have the best manners in a time which we are living, most of the human people are very selfish. Okay? How to have the best manners with selfish people? This is the only way. When I connect with Allah. Just with Allah. All praise to Allah. All the people for me are the same. Duties, trust, good manners. That's it. When I am harmed sometimes by people, when you treat people in this way, and they always mostly, either they don't care, they don't appreciate, or they take it for granted. Alhamdulillah, Mona is a good person now. Okay, no problem. No appreciation. Okay? So sometimes this harms your spirit, because you are still a human being. Immediately, you remind yourself, Allah is there. Allah will reward me. Allah will take care of me. All praise to Allah. Many problems I was supposed to be exposed to, from the decree of Allah. But Allah saved me from this problem. This is out of my forgiveness for the other people. So, you know, sister, this is the reality of the happiness in the worldly life. And Islam is the religion which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment. The only religion which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment is Islam. You are not becoming Muslims only for the sake of acceptance of the religion. No, I want you to live the best worldly life out of your belief in the oneness of Allah. When you feel that you are not in need of any human being financially, or regarding love, or care, or anything, you will be the best healthy spirit in this worldly life. And you will be all the time having the confidence, Allah knows my needs. Allah knows what I am looking for. I tried to have my needs through the people, and they gave me always hard time. So I will never try to have my needs through the people. I will have it through Allah. When I prostrate, I will mention to him all the problem, always. And you know, sisters, again, this is the mercy of Islam. I reach Allah in any minute, in any second. You know, sometimes, you know, nowadays, or during, you know, the finals, my youngest daughter was studying, and I am with her in the same room, because, you know, she always, you know, puts the book, and, you know, she used the iPhone. This is one of the disasters of the worldly life. The iPhone. Because it has the email, the internet, you know. So I always look to her, you know, there is a mirror. So I am sitting in her back. So she's sitting, you know, studying. She's not studying. This is the cell phone, the iPhone. So I tell her, yes, are you studying? I'm sure she's not. You know, you see me, I am writing. What are you looking for? You know, then believe me, sisters, I always call on Allah to give me patience. You know, otherwise, you know, I have eyes. She's playing with the iPhone. You know, what can I do? I will keep on fighting with her every half an hour. You know, I take the iPhone, she puts the iPhone. I put the iPhone, she puts the iPhone. So what I will do? The biggest problem. So, you know, immediately, sisters, I will call on Allah saying, oh Allah, give me patience. Oh Allah, support me not to fight with her. Oh Allah, guide her to put the iPhone away. I mean, yes, this is the only way what you can do in life, you know. In every problem, try to escape to Allah. Otherwise, maybe she is using the iPhone to send a message to other students. Maybe she is using it in the right way and I am oppressing her. You see, sister, this is the problem. If you are not sure of any reality, don't oppress others, because you are oppressing yourself. Maybe the reality is totally different, and you are not aware. And, you know, you have your own way of thinking, own way of belief. He was oppressing me, and he was doing so and so, and I will do so and so, and I plan for that, and I will insist for this. And then, after some time, you realize that the reality, or, you know, the situation was totally different. What you will do at that time? So this is an introduction, but it is just a reminder for you, alhamdulillah, that you are revert to Islam, you have Allah. So long you have Allah in your life, sisters, you have everything. And through Allah, try to reach all your goals. And through the belief in Allah, don't oppress any human being. In reality, none deserves to have my good deeds on the Day of Judgment. After treating the people in the best way, I am not supposed to give them also my good deeds on the Day of Judgment. So let us now again, you now, sister, it's very important. Why? Because most of the kids, they are oppressed by their parents because of the fighting between the father and mother. Most of the kids are oppressed when there is divorce and the situation is not good for the parents. So trying to keep the family in the good shape as we can, you know, according to the rules of Allah, is a big reward for you from Allah for the sake of your kids. So let us now learn about the reward of fulfilling our trust regarding our kids. Number one, sisters, let us agree that kids are the source of love and happiness for their parents in this life and in the worldly life. Let us first appreciate having kids, then learning about the reward of fulfilling their trust. We will read now from Surah number 18, verse number 46, to learn that in Islam, kids are, source of happiness in the worldly life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this world, but the good righteous deeds that last are better with your Lord for reward and better in respect of hope.
So actually, Allah the Almighty is teaching us that kids, children are adornment of the life of this world, keeping in mind, sister, that they are righteous children. Not all the children are adornment. Some of the children actually are enemies for their parents. Okay? So when you fulfill your trust regarding your kids, this means that inshallah they will be righteous children. So they will be, the source of happiness in your worldly life. If you want to live a happy worldly life, try to have righteous children so that inshallah they will be, as Allah mentioned here, adornment of the worldly life. This is related to the righteous children. Also, when you grow up and you become old and you are weak, okay, your righteous children will be a source of support, care and compassion. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 17, verse number 23, regarding the blessing of having a righteous kid while parents become old. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. Verse 23 and 24.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be dutiful to your parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of disrespect, nor shout at them, but address them in terms of honor. And lower unto them the wing of submission and humility through mercy, and say, My Lord, bestow on them your mercy, as they did bring me up when I was young.
So actually, sisters, you will appreciate this reality when you become old. When you become old, you will become weak. Okay, you will become weak psychologically and mentally and maybe financially. And at that minute, your kids, inshallah, the righteous one, will be the blessing from Allah in your life. Because without showing them that you need their help or support, they will be the one to follow the command of Allah regarding you. They will give you the care, the compassion, and the good treatment, and inshallah they will become the mercy of your life. So fulfilling your trust regarding your kids, okay, means that you will have righteous kids when you are in the old age, and this is one of the greatest blessings for any old age parents. Number two, regarding the reward of fulfilling your trust to your kids, is that when you fulfill your trust to your kids, this means that you are obeying the command of Allah. When you obey Allah, this means that you have a way to paradise. We will read now from Surah number 4, verse number 58, regarding fulfilling the trust is a form of obedience of Allah's command. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily, Allah commands that you should render back the trust to those to whom they are due, and that when you judge between men, you judge with justice. Verily, how excellent is the teaching which He gives you. Truly, Allah is ever all-hearer, all-seer.
So, sisters, it is the command of Allah to fulfill our trusts regarding all the people and regarding our kids. This is the command. If you obey the command, this means that this is an act of obedience to Allah, and the reward, inshallah, will be the paradise. Number three, when you fulfill your trust regarding your kids, this means that you are protecting them and protecting yourself from the hellfire. We will read now from Surah number 66, verse number 6. Surah number 66, verse number 6. Chapter 66, verse 6. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who believe, ward off yourselves and your families against a fire whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who disobey not from executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded.
So actually, sisters, it is the responsibility of the parents to save their kids from the fire of the hereafter, which is everlasting severe fire. The only way to save them and to save yourself is to fulfill your trust towards them, and Allah will reward you for this. Also, sisters, when you have righteous kids, when you fulfill your trust towards them, okay, they will accompany you in the paradise. Every one of us, when you become old, you know, and actually this is my feeling now, that when I die, maybe I will not meet my kids again. But Allah is sending a message of mercy to every Muslim that if you fulfill your trust towards your kids and they become righteous kids, they will accompany you, inshallah, in the paradise, and you will not miss them in the paradise. We will read this fact or this rule from Surah number 52, verse number 21. We will start from verse number 17 so that you can realize that we are discussing the paradise. We will read from Surah number 52 from 17 to 21. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المتقين في جنات ونعيم فاكهين بما آتاهم ربهم ووقاهم ربهم عذاب الجحيم كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون متكئين على سرر مصفوفة وزوجناهم بحور عين والذين آمنوا واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وما ألتناهم من عملهم من شيء كل امرئ بما كسب رهين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily the mutaqun will be in gardens and delight, enjoying in that which their Lord has bestowed on them, and their Lord saved them from the torment of the blazing fire. Eat and drink with happiness because of what you used to do. They will recline on thrones arranged in ranks, and we shall marry them off to her with wide lovely eyes. And those who believe and whose offspring follow them in faith, to them shall we join their offspring, and we shall not decrease the reward of their deeds in anything. Every person is a pledge for that which he has earned.
Also, sisters, You must learn that the righteous kids will supplicate for their parents after their death. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that when I die now, for example, this means that my good deeds stopped because I died. But if I have a righteous kid and that righteous kid will supplicate to Allah, calling on Allah for my mercy, saving me from the hellfire, saving me from the torment of the grave, this means that this supplication will be in my scale, inshallah, on the day of judgment. So this means that in spite of the fact I am dead, but still there are good deeds in my added to my record because of my because of the supplication of my righteous kid. And this is actually a great blessing. Maybe we don't appreciate it now while we are in the worldly life. But on the day of judgment, when you will realize that all these good deeds in your scale are because of your kid, the righteous one who was doing supplication for you after your death, you will appreciate the importance of having righteous kids in the worldly life. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, upon death, man's deed will stop, except for three deeds. A continuous charitable fund, this is number one. This means that before my death, for example, I asked my daughters to put $20,000, for example, in ISCGH and to make it as a charity, continuous charity for our mother. So they will give from that charity, okay, to people over years and years. I will receive, you know, these good deeds from that charity after my death. This is number one. Any amount of money. For example, all my money. For example, I will tell them, sell my watch, my ring and everything and make for me a charity. But the best is that you make it for yourself before your death. Because sometimes after death, the kids change. You know, they will feel that they are in need of money. Other than, more than other people. We will take the money. We will not make for her the fund. Yes, everything can happen. So if you are sincere regarding the good deeds, make it for yourself while you are alive. This is number one. Number two, and the problem is that we don't know when we will die. I may tell you, sisters, I will make it, inshallah, when I am 70. Okay? But Sister Mona, I will die tonight. Why you didn't make it if you have the intention? You know, this is the problem regarding the issue of death. Number two, the second good deed is that knowledge left for people to benefit from. For example, if I have the website, Islamic Happiness, and I will die, I will, you know, ask my daughters, you know, to pay the yearly, you know, amount of money for the website to be still, you know, working. So that if anyone will get any knowledge from the website, inshallah, it will be added to me. Number three, I will be also the one to pay it before I die. But no problem, you cannot pay in advance. Allah knows the intention. No, inshallah, my kids will be righteous and all your kids, inshallah. Number three, a righteous kid will who will continuously pray to Allah for the soul of his parents. You know, I tell you, sister, if you want your kids to pray for you after your death, try to pray for your parents, you know, after their death. I always mention this to my daughters. I always mention to my daughter that the first supplication I do while I am dying in prostration, Allah knows, oh Allah, save my parents from, you know, the torment of the grave and the hellfire. I always teach them these facts so that when I die, they will follow the same, to call on Allah, you know, to save, you know, their parents from the hellfire and from the torment of the grave.
Is this only your children?
Yes.
Okay. So like if I pray for someone else that's not my parents, will they get good deeds still?
No, if you pray for someone else, inshallah, Allah will accept it. But the hadith is related to the parents, you know. And I tell you one thing, we pray for others, You know, when I did this supplication, also because you are revered Muslims, at any time you do supplication for anyone, at and for all the Muslims. You know, for example, when I pray, I always say, oh Allah, save my parents from the torment of the grave and the hellfire, and all the Muslims. Okay, so that inshallah, it is the mercy of Allah.
This You're not supposed to make supplication for people that are dead, that are not Muslims though, right?
You know, Allah said in the Quran that only Islam is the religion which is accepted on the Day of Judgment. So only Allah knows how He will judge those people whom they died non-Muslims. You know, this is up to Allah. None can say, you know, how Allah will judge them. But basically, the only religion which is accepted on the Day of Judgment is Islam. And again, sisters, because you are revered sister, Islam is not only, it doesn't mean, you know, only, you know, that those whom they come after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. No. Prophet Ibrahim was a Muslim. All the prophets were Muslims. Those whom they believe in their prophet, before Prophet Muhammad, they were Muslims. Islam is the total submission to Allah. You get my point? The problem is for those whom they learn about Prophet Muhammad and they don't become Muslims. But before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it was the belief in the message of that Prophet, and all the messages of the Prophets were related to worship none but Allah. Okay? Okay, so now sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we learn now about, you know, the reward of fulfilling the trust to our kids. The next question will be, what are the consequences of not fulfilling our duties towards our kids? Suppose, you know, I decide that, you know, my husband is not good, I will not live with him, I will, you know, send my kid to him or to his family or to any place, and actually, inshallah, I will marry again, and inshallah, I will take care of my new kids. Okay, and I forget about that kid. Okay, so what are the consequences of not fulfilling our duties? Number one is that if you don't teach your kid the belief in the oneness of Allah, and again, sister, this is teaching. This is knowledge. Okay, even for the born Muslims, you know, they need to learn the belief in the oneness of Allah, especially nowadays. Okay, because nowadays the belief and the faith are very weak. All over the earth, Muslims and non-Muslims, you know. So, if you don't teach your kid about the belief, if you don't teach your kid the manners, if you don't teach any kid about the responsibility of the life, these kids will be non-righteous kids. Okay, failure in the school, bad manners, weak belief. Okay, what is the problem of this? You can tell me what is the problem. Because there are some people actually whom they are never serious in the worldly life. What is the problem? Most of the people are like this. This is not my problem. You know, the parents always try not to feel guilty. Okay, this is their nature. Yes, okay, but I want to tell you one thing. These kids will become the source of troubles, sadness, problems, loss of health, effort, and wealth. Why, sisters? Because I can say, by my tongue, I don't care for my kids. But still, my kids will be in my heart. This is how Allah created the human spirit. Okay? I can say to my daughter, don't study. Oh, be the last one. Don't pray. You know, I don't care. You give me very hard time. I fed up with your guidance. Okay? But I will not be able to follow my words. After 2 hours, I will tell her, please come and pray with me. Okay? You know, this is the issue. This is how Allah created the parents with the care and love for the kids. Okay? So, if our kids are not good kids, you can't imagine how the life is miserable. Even if you are wealthy, even if you have the best job, you know, I know wealthy people, and I know, you know, physicians whom they are having very big positions. And you see them For example, in the hospital or in any reception, you know, people in the best shape, cars, houses, prestige and everything. You don't know what is going on inside their homes or houses or families. You don't know what is the meaning of a dysfunctional family. Big, real hell. This sometimes is more bitter. And this is all because of the kids, especially when they start to grow up. You know, maybe while they are still 5, 6, 7, okay, after 12. You know, a girl or a boy. Okay, so number one, when the kids are not righteous, they are the source of the real loss in the worldly life. The loss of everything. The loss of the time. Okay, because suppose now I am enjoying the time with you, all praise to Allah, 1 hour, 2 hours, the whole morning I'm working as a pediatrician, all praise to Allah. When I return home, where is my daughter? Come home now, I will come at 12. Where are you? I will tell you later. No, you must, no, up, 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 then my husband will come. Where is your daughter? What happened? So it will be the fight with the husband, the fight with the kids, you know. I will give you a call, inshallah. Okay? So, all my life, in reality, you know, is not what the people, thinking, or what the people, you know, can imagine. This is not the reality. No, the reality is what is going on inside the family. Okay, so you must know, sister, that these kids will become your real enemies. Not my enemy is, someone who is causing troubles for me. No, the real enemy is the one living with me inside my house. The one whom I am supposed to give my effort, my love, my life, my wealth. And they are treating me in a very bad way, and they are bad people. Not only treating me in a bad way, they are bad people. I wasted all my life, my wealth, my health for nothing. They are bad people. They don't have a belief. They don't have manners. Their life is not in a good shape. They are lost. So, this means that you have the real enemies in your life. This is what Allah mentioned in Surah number 64, verse number 14 and 15, a reminder to every parent that your kids may become your enemies. We will read now from Surah number 64, verse 14 and 15. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم.
O you who believe, verily among your wives and your children there are enemies for you. Therefore beware of them. But if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then verily Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Your wealth and your children are only a trial, whereas Allah with him is a great reward.
Your kids are a trial, and Allah will be the one to reward you with the paradise if you forgive, if you forget, if you overlook, you know, regarding their faults. But most of the people, they don't forgive and they don't overlook, and because of that, their kids are their real enemies. And the problem, sisters, is that they are not the real enemies only in the worldly life. They are the real enemies on the Day of Judgment, because they will ask Allah, the Almighty, to judge between them and their parents. They will complain to Allah that we are bad because of our parents. They never fulfill their trust towards us. So, O Allah, all our bad deeds must be added to the record of our parents, not to our record. We were not the one. No one raise us. No one take care of us. No one teach us. No one educate us. So this is the end result because of the negligence of our parents regarding their trust. Everyone must be aware of this very important fact, sisters. Because when we realize these facts, okay, we plan our life in a different way. Okay, when I have some problems with my husband, for example, or the husband is having problems with the wife, you know, because most of the people are under the impression, you know, that I am with the side of one of them. I am not with the side of any of them. I am with the side of the oppressed one, you know, not with the oppressor. But now if I am oppressed with my husband, I am supposed to be an oppressor regarding my kids. This is the problem. You know, sisters, if I live the feelings of oppression,